So we're going to proceed. We'd appreciate if you can hold your questions. This session is an hour and a half long. We will present for about 20 minutes, if not less, and then it's going to be in a Q&A. Next slide, please, Salim. Next slide, please. So we all heard Fadi at the opening ceremony about our global staffing model. In global staffing, I would like to take it up a notch to really be what we call a global model. We have, since Fadi's arrival, established three strategic hubs for ICANN to be able to support the three regions, the five regions. And we also have regional offices. Compliance, being a critical service, is located in the three hubs, supporting the regional offices, but also supporting the compliance model globally. In Los Angeles, we are fully staffed, zero open positions. In the Singapore office, we are now two resources strong, and we have one more open position. And in Istanbul, we have three with one open positions. That's our plan for fiscal year 15 from a staffing perspective. Please keep in mind that if the environment changes and there's a need for more, we have the utmost support from our executive leaders to staff augment as where possible. But what I'd like to do is also recognize that compliance does not operate alone. We depend and collaborate on staff, ICANN staff, internally to support each other. For example, today's meeting is a great testimony to that. We have Jax. Jax used to be in compliance, but now he is the director for risk for within the ICANN organization. We have John Crane from the security team. We have Gustavo and Mike Zupke and many other of our counterparts from Cyrus's teams who support the registrars and registries. We also have some of the, we are supported or staff augmented by having support from different contracted parties. In this case, we have Matt representing KPMG, and Matt has partnered with us for the last 2 years to deliver the audit program. We also have full-time equivalent staff to support us in the metric space and also in the audit space. So in reality, if you start adding the numbers, we're really fortunate to have the support and the extension team. The staff page, if you are interested who we are, we provide that link and can tell you what is the background, our staff, and who we represent. Next slide, please. Again, global model, as Fadi mentioned, is also global readiness. We've always worked on institutionalizing a common process and bringing, you've heard Akram talk about a culture of compliance. That's really the model that all of ICANN is really institutionalizing. But from a compliance perspective, I want to highlight that this common process and approach and is used and is applied globally. A very good example of that, we were dealing with a non-compliance issue yesterday afternoon. We transitioned it to LA, woke up at 1 a.m., the team was reviewing the templates. Singapore took over this morning, our time at 6 a.m. while we were having our coffee, we're just dialoguing and they're finishing it up. So we are truly a global model, consistent process, consistent templates, consistent language. There's always room for improvement, and we are the first to acknowledge that, and we continue to look into those. The third item here on the culture of compliance that's critical to everyone in the audience that we stress to all of ICANN, compliance is fact-based decision-making. If you've worked with us, you know what we mean. We can all complain, but if you do not provide the right information that's requested, we cannot provide you that service adequately. So we really ask that if you are filing a report or if you are working with us as a contracted party to address either a non-compliance issue or an inquiry, to really address those fact-based. And that has helped. The other item I want to highlight on this slide is for the audience to understand and gain an appreciation for the process in two aspects. We are not here to shut down businesses or to expose problems. We're here first to make sure there is a compliance within the obligations, within the agreement. The process was designed over 2 years ago in collaboration with the entire community. We built it up from the bottom, took it to the different stakeholders for input, and we all agreed that there needs to be an informal resolution process, which is the green. You know, color, thank God colors work globally too. So in the green, that means informally compliance, ICANN contractual compliance, is collaborating with the contracted parties to address and resolve any inquiry or notice. We always want to be given the benefit of doubt to address those. And none of that information is publicly available. Even internal to ICANN, it's very confidential and it's shared as needed. If and when there is no resolution to the non-compliance issue or there is some kind of challenges that lead us to a breach, that's when we start the formal resolution process. So in the informal resolution, it stems from anything and everything. It could be a complaint, a report that's sent to us, or it could be an internal monitoring that triggered a complaint. Even the compliance staff, even the ICANN staff, follows the compliance process. For example, if we have an issue of that's identified through the monitoring tool that's managed by Gustavo and Francisco, they log in a complaint for us exactly where it is with that tool. There are also some tools that are automated and generate exception reports. They go into this. For example, finance. Finance has their own process. If and when the finance payments are not made, then they escalate to compliance in their last notice to the contracted parties, saying that you've been notified per finance process. Now we're escalating to compliance because you do have a contractual obligation to fulfill. Finance enters a complaint in there. So the process is truly global, internally, externally, and it's all tracked, reported on. In the formal resolution, we start publishing. When we publish the notices, it's obvious, it's visible to all. I have had several occasions when I receive calls from frustrated contracted parties saying, "You're ruining my reputation." It's like, "I'm sorry, you did that to yourself. You've had every opportunity to collaborate and work with us." So when it's published, we do not remove. We made a commitment to the community that enforcement will be published. We keep the community informed on the progress of the enforcement. Even when a breach is cured, we do not remove it. It just updated. And the reason that's done is the community also needs to know what's going on in the environment, even the historical aspects. So again, I spent a little more time on this because we have a lot of new faces in the audience that I personally do not recognize, and I wanted to make sure it's understood. But mostly I wanted to also support the statement that Fadi made at the kickoff ceremony. So we are truly global and will continue to grow. Our commitment to Fadi is the compliance staffing will grow in the hubs, no more in LA. We're fully staffed in LA, and based on the needs, we will start growing more in the hubs. Next slide, please. Our readiness. That's been the big issue. We were threatened last year. We're going to make statements. Compliance is not ready. We need to stop programs. Well, compliance has been ready and was ready. What we did, we showed this slide. What does it mean to be ready for the 2013 RAA or the new registry agreement? ICANN has had really a couple of strong agreements go into effect almost sequentially. And that, in the environment, from those who have known ICANN and been following ICANN for the last few years, from a compliance perspective, the impact was huge. Previously, the total number of complaints that we were managing was a total of 10. We always have the other category because you never know what else you might receive. But in general, we took the agreements and the consensus policies and we grouped them into what we call complaint types. There are many subsets within this, but at a high level, it's 10. When we launched the 2013 RAA, we worked in collaboration with the internal staff and with the contracted party to make sure that when we were building those next level of complaints to be in alignment with the 2013 RAA, that we were documenting it properly, addressing it, and informing them of what's happening. The same thing with the new registry agreement. You will notice we don't refer to it as new GTLD because there's always going to be some new GTLD. It's basically the new agreement. I wish they put a year on it because if you're familiar with the RAA, there's a 2001, 2009, now it's 2013. So we refer to it as the new registry agreement and you'll see the different categories identified from within. So we went from 10 to 40. In addition to that, all the documentations have been uploaded on our website. Not just the web forms are ready to collect the reported non-compliance or alleged non-compliance, but we also have the aspect of Learn Mores and FAQs in the 6 UN languages to support it. If in doubt where you fit, there's always some type of other category you can go for it. Next slide, please. Wanted to put this forward. We had been talking about this, but that we received additional questions for clarification. This is regarding the registrar and registry compliance checks that the compliance team conducts, but also the compliance team has a voice when it comes to renewal of accreditation, new agreements, transfers. The idea behind the compliance check is that we want to make sure that ICANN and the contracted party are being transparent with the community as it relates to compliance. So before, for example, there is a contract renewal on the registrar space, the registrar team under Mike's leadership will send us a heads up and the process starts weeks in advance. There is a renewal coming up. Can you please conduct a compliance check? We have a standard template that is also populated. And the category where compliance has a big X that says, no, we definitely don't want to support this unless these areas are addressed. If there is a breach in effect, it's a very simple binary, yes or no. If there is a breach in effect, there is no renewal until the breach is cured. If there is a third notice and or enforcement, which could be a breach or a suspension, in effect, it's definitely a yes or no. If it's data escrow, so we looked at the areas that are high in risk but in exposure. Again, depends which audience or stakeholder you come from. You may say, I want to add this complaint type to be a high risk. It's not just driven by the complaint types. It's driven by what is the risk to the community and to ICANN. The performance history is part of the compliance checks we take a look at. We look at the frequency, how many breaches were done. We also provide a history of the registrar's behavior. When we speak about behavior, behavior is many things. It's collaboration, it's turnaround time, which we report to the community on. So it should be a full circle when you are hearing compliance updates or working with compliance on either side. Anything we are reporting on is also discussed and delivered at these outreach sessions. Same thing applies for the registry agreement. So these compliance checks, we've had some where we've said you cannot renew your contract or you cannot move forward until you've addressed those. What better incentive to come into compliance? Next slide, please. I wanted to share this. For those of you who were here earlier, before the session started, there was a reporting on the performance measurement at ICANN that Carol and Abba delivered in collaboration with Xavier. These are some of the governance metrics that we report internally, and I know our executive leaders are looking into bringing many more of those reports to the community. But what we report internally to our global leaders is on these categories. Yes, we start with customer satisfaction survey, because it is important to report on this, but mostly it's important for us as an organization, because this is where we get feedback to be able to continue improvements. We report on the audit results. We report on data escrow compliance. And the categories below that you see as registrar compliance or registry compliance, these are tied to the compliance checks. And then we also report on our closure rate. Next slide, please. The next few slides are going to be presented by Jennifer. They relate to the 2013 RAA discussions. And as you see on the agenda, we've got a couple more topics to discuss here.
Thank you, Maggie. Good morning, everyone. I'm Jennifer Scott, Manager, Contractual Compliance. This slide just details some of the activity that's been going on since ICANN 49, and particularly registrars have been coming into compliance with the new 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement and its specifications, including who is format and who is accuracy requirements. Next slide, please. And here's a list of some of the lessons learned in terms of registrars coming into alignment with the new provisions in the 2013 RAA. And today we'll be touching mostly on WHOIS accuracy, abuse reports, and some of the privacy proxy concerns. Next slide, please. Here's some metrics that are regarding the registrar complaint types that ICANN received between March 2014 and May 2014, and it's a breakdown of complaint type volume by complaint type, and we've included also the turnaround time of registrars and how long it's been taking them to respond to complaints with regard to each notice. So the first notice, second notice, and third notice, you can see there how many days it's taking them to reply to ICANN. Next slide, please. This pie chart here shows a breakdown of the reasons for enforcement actions, and we give you numbers as well for the complaints that have become breaches, suspensions, or terminations following enforcement actions for March through May. This year. Next slide, please. Recently, ICANN's been seeing registrars align their efforts with the new 2013 RAA and its WHOIS accuracy program specification. This specification requires that registrars both verify and validate WHOIS information for new and transferred registrations, as well as those that have a change in the registered name holder, or when there is information suggesting that the WHOIS information may be incorrect, such as a compliance notice that is forwarding a WHOIS inaccuracy complaint to the registrar. Registrars must obtain an affirmative response from the registered name holder within 15 calendar days of an inquiry, or else suspend the domain until the registrar can verify the WHOIS information. Our ICANN's first notices have a due date of 15 business days, so there is some cushion built in there for the 15 calendar day deadline. And beginning with our second notice, ICANN will inquire of registrars why the domain hasn't been suspended yet. ICANN's also been conducting a periodic review of suspended domains to make sure that the suspension is remaining in effect, or if not, that the WHOIS has been updated. And if it has been updated, then we would request evidence from the registrar that the WHOIS, new WHOIS, has been verified and validated. Next slide, please. Just to clarify and go over the difference between verification and validation, because we have seen some confusion from registrars on these requirements, there are two distinct obligations under the WHOIS accuracy program specification. And to clarify, verification is the affirmative response from the registered name holder or something done manually by the registrar absent that affirmative response. And that can vary depending on the claims. But in either case, evidence of verification must be provided in response to any claim of who is inaccuracy. Next slide, please. On the other hand, validation is to ensure that the format of the who is data is consistent with standards. And these standards are explicitly listed in the who is accuracy program specification. And there's a standard for email, for telephone, and postal addresses. Sometimes we've seen registrars coming back to us with validation using like a Google Maps type of proprietary website. And unless those websites are relying on these standards, they will not be acceptable for validation efforts. Next slide, please. Registrars have also been aligning with the 2013 RAA abuse reporting requirements in section 3.18. They've been required to set up abuse reporting handling procedures, publish abuse report contact information on their websites and in the Who Is output, as well as take reasonable and prompt steps to investigate and respond appropriately to abuse reports. Abuse reports must be investigated by registrars regardless of the jurisdiction from which the report arises, and whether from law enforcement or otherwise, and without a court order. Next slide, please. With regard to privacy and proxy issues, we refer you to section 3.4.1.5 of the 2013 RAA, as well as the specification on privacy and proxy registrations. It's important to note that proxy services must be separate legal entities from the registrar to avoid any improper self-registration, which is prohibited by the 2013 RAA. Additionally, it should be noted that when there's a registration under a privacy or proxy service, it is still subject to the verification and validation requirements for who is data. Next slide, please. ICANN has been investigating an increased number of complaints regarding deceptive transfer and renewal notices lately. And these notices attempt to trick registrants into taking action at the threat of losing their domain name. And then that when they do take action, the registrants end up unknowingly transferring their domain or renewing it with a different registrar. And although this investigation is ongoing by ICANN, we note that it's likely these deceptive notices would violate the registrant's benefits and responsibilities. Next slide, please. ICANN contractual compliance has also been involved with policy and working group efforts, and specifically we list out here some of the ones we've been working with the policy team on in terms of implementation and updates to policies. Next slide, please. One in particular is the Uniform Domain Name Dispute Resolution Procedure, or the UDRP. Here are some general issues that we've seen in compliance with regard to the UDRP. Of particular note is the problem of registrars not keeping the status quo of a registration that is subject to UDRP and or transferring the registration instead of implementing the UDRP decision. We hope that these problems will be addressed by the updated rules to the UDRP, which will approximately be implemented in the middle of next calendar year, 2015. We've also note here that in June of 2013, ICANN reached out to UDRP providers to make sure that they were using our consolidated complaint processing tool and filing formal complaints through that consolidated tool to notify ICANN of any problems with registrars during UDRP proceedings. Next slide, please. Another consensus policy that contractual compliance has been